Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business Magazine, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. In this episode, we talk to John Gallagher, Vice President of VGM Government Relations, and Rhonda Burmeister, Director of Reimbursement for VGM, to take a closer look at CMS's decision to change the zip code designations for 381 zip codes. 242 of those zip codes changed from rural designations to non-rural designations, which negatively impacted their funding, so this is a big deal. Then we change gears to talk to Ty Bello, president and founder of HME sales training and coaching company Team at Work, and Jonathan Walters, VP of Leadership Development and CRT Coaching for Team at Work, about HME sales strategy, including driving new business by tapping into the CRT market. Okay, let's dive in. I'm here at VGM Heartland, and I'm talking to John Gallagher, Vice President of Government Relations for VGM, as well as Rhonda Burmeister, who is Director of Reimbursement for VGM, about an interesting issue, which is a change in zip code classification at CMS, which is changing how some providers are classified in terms of whether they're rural or non-rural, non-bid. So take me through that. What is the change that recently happened?
So what we found out at VGM, actually one of our members in Texas area had reached out because she was monitoring her reimbursement rates when they were doing their posting and noticed there was a reduction in the second quarter in April and May in comparison to quarter one. And so these are rural zip codes she's dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so she asked, you know, what's going on? Is there a glitch? So I started doing some research and agreed there had to be a glitch in the system, because what I was seeing, well, they were still rural zip codes, according to what I was seeing. So I reached out to the contractor and asked them about these zip codes. I had ones that they looked at, and they said CMS had sent them a change request at the end of March to start April 1, that there were some changes in zip codes, and some of the rural zip codes went to non-rural rates. So her reimbursement was correct.
Uh-huh. In a way.
Yeah, right, in a way.
Quite the surprise.
Right, because, you know, the example she gave me on a stationary concentrator, the first quarter she was being paid at $134 a month. Second quarter, $71 a month.
That's a nasty surprise.
She had some BiPAPs on there, the EO470. She was being paid at $185 a month. And these are capped. This is a capped rental, so this makes a big difference even. So she went from $185 a month to $104. So $85 off. And so that affects your end result of your purchase price.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Or whether or not you're going to be able to keep the lights on.
Exactly.
So what precipitated this change? Is it a regular change that happens at CMS?
So they can make changes, is what we're learning now, to the zip codes. How they make these changes or what's their logic behind it, that's what we're still looking for. And we hope to have that answer here, if not at Heartland, soon after. Mm-hmm. We have CMS representation here, so they're aware that that's a concern. It's going to be a question brought up with our members. So they're going to be hopefully be able to provide an answer, and if not, get us an answer why these changes are occurring.
Wow. And what happens next? Do you guys talk to CMS to get them changed back, or what's the solution, or is there a solution?
It may not be a solution other than the fact that CMS needs to notify providers on how that's going to play out. To Rhonda's point, particularly on providers who may be dealing with cap rentals, mm-hmm. you know, how are you changing that in the middle of the road? You know, it's something that needs to be addressed by CMS. Yeah. When we first looked at it, it was kind of, when Rhonda first brought it up, it seemed like it was small, there wasn't that many zip codes. When we went back and then pulled the zip codes, there were about 380 zip codes that got changed.
Wow.
And if we looked at Iowa, you saw the map, and I'm happy to send you the map, the Iowa affected 10,000 beneficiaries.
Which is huge.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that we needed to address with Senator Grassley and Senator Ernst. But we also looked at West Virginia, and West Virginia had another 10,000 patients out in Mountain, West Virginia. And one of our members reached out to Senator Manchin's office. And so they're trying to find out from CMS. And CMS's response was limited as well. So I think CMS is trying to figure this out. They might have or uncorked the genie bottle that they may want to go back and change. But we don't know that yet.
And just for the folks out there in the audience, what we're talking about is they could have had their zip code change and not be aware.
Right. Correct.
And be puzzling over why their reimbursement suddenly dropped. So you mentioned the maps. Is that the best way to find out right now? Or is it with
visually, we've got the 200 or 300 zip codes, so they can look at their zip codes. We've broken them out by state, but also they can take a look at the map and say, okay, this is, as you saw in the meeting today, the gentleman from the Des Moines area, he was looking at it going, holy cow, that's a chunk of my population.
And that's Des Moines.
I mean,
it's a big area.
Big area.
So what? Where can providers get these maps? Can they get them from VGM Government Relations?
Yeah, they can get them from our government team. We can get those. So they can reach out. We actually put this in a legislative update, I think it was last week, and just as an alert to suppliers to watch.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, you know, some suppliers may not even be aware of it yet because a lot of the billing softwares might automatically be posting. And these large suppliers, they could be automatically posting payments, and they may not have caught on to this yet.
Yeah.
So it's important to look at and see what these changes are in the zip code so you know sooner rather than later why there's changes in your reporting.
And there's is the link easy? Like, is it just a DC link?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, all right, and that's VGMDCLink.com?
Yep. Correct.
Okay, great. What about going forward, can the industry impress upon CMS the need to change? And also, it might be good to discuss how this impacts HR 2771. So, John, I don't know if you want to field that one or...
Yeah, you know, it's too early to know that right now. Whether it will impact 2771, other than the fact that if zip codes are changed on a quarterly basis, how does that all play out? So that is something we're going to address tomorrow, hopefully with Tangita from CMS as the ombudswoman. As Rhonda indicated, we gave her a heads up, so it's nothing that we're going to shock her with. So I'm hoping she has a little bit more information for us come tomorrow's session.
Gotcha. All right. Well, what should providers be doing right now?
Look at those zip codes.
Watch the zip codes. You know, we're keeping an eye on them now that we've recognized what can happen. So we will obviously alert the membership. You know, it'll be in our legislative updates as soon as we know. If any suppliers out there that are seeing these changes, let us know. Alert us. Keep us in the loop. So they need to watch. If they need to, one, check the zip codes to see if they were affected by it. And if they are, we need to address it, you know, legislatively, obviously, and with CMS.
And for providers who aren't members, can they get access to those zip code lists?
Yes, okay, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're all in this together.
So. Yeah, there you go.
You know, and I want to add, too, that, you know, some of those codes, they did add some, and it was a small amount, but they did put some non-rule zip codes into the rule. So they went the other way as well. So it's good for those that happened to, but the bigger impact was those going from rule to non-rule.
Certainly.
So they that was the bigger impact, and if this is going to continue, we need notification so we're aware.
Okay.
So.
And another question that, you know, pops in your mind when you think about it, do they claw back? Do they now say, okay, these zip codes are non-rule, so we're going to go back to the very beginning when reimbursement was set up. We don't know.
And what happens if they do come up with a fix for the period of time where a provider has been in a reclassified zip code that is, you know, that negatively impacts them? Do they have a way to recoup?
Yeah.
You know,
no,
probably
really,
not. No.
It's done. Yeah.
Done deal.
It's unfortunate. Yes.
So it's kind of back, once again, that genie bottle, you know, unintended consequences of some change that was made by CMS, and a lot of folks don't understand it or reason why, even CMS themselves.
Ouch. Well, bad news, but thank you guys very much for the time and the information.
Absolutely.
And credit to Rhonda. She was the one that dug into it and found the information.
Well, all right. I credit our members. You know, that's why we are that's why we tell our members that anytime you find any issues like this, and our audits or anything, keep us engaged because we need to know as well. We try to stay on top of everything as much as we can.
Yeah.
But when they're living the life.
Certainly.
So they're in it every day. So let us know so we can help you with this. And I'm so fortunate that this member brought it to our attention and so we can research it more. It's unfortunate I had the bad news to share with her, but I'm glad she did bring it to our attention so we can go about it in other manners. So.
Yeah. So, well, thanks again.
Communication's good. So thank you.
All right. Thanks a bunch to Rhonda and John for that great info. Next, let's dig into our sales strategy discussion with Ty and John from Team at Work. First, Ty will talk about a new approach to HME sales, and Jonathan will discuss how providers can take that approach to reach out to new markets such as the CRT space with HME products and services to create new clients and more business. I'm talking to Ty Bello of Team at Work Coaching and Jonathan Walters of Team at Work Coaching about HME sales and this HME sales process, and more specifically about what Ty calls the new normal approach. And Ty, maybe I'm taking liberties, but do you think providers currently have their kind of their sales efforts upside down?
Yeah, I think they do, and I think we've discussed that, you and I, in the past, and Jonathan and I definitely are you know, looking at that as an opportunity for them to grow their business. I mean, right now we believe that there is a new normal, a new reality for the HME providers, the complex rehab providers, in the marketplace relative to selling. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we talk about in this new normal, new reality, is that we have got an opportunity. Now, remember, complex rehab is not part of competitive bid. Fine.
Okay.
But we've got competitive bid, the new bid coming out in 2021. We've got 19 months or thereabouts to build our brand if we win the bid, if we're in a CBA, and even if we're not, like on the complex rehab business, how are we building our brand and marketing our business to both the community, which is the consumer, and then also to the customer, which is the referral community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we approach this, one, with that in mind, saying we need to take a better look at this. And David, you were in a recent talk of ours that we talked about how many different people that we have in the billing department. It's a very important area for us to have people and staffing. But I don't think we put enough of emphasis on the top of the funnel, which is the sales part of the funnel.
Right.
And what Jonathan believes, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but try to segue a little bit, is the other new reality, new normal, is the development of our leadership. And the leadership inside of sales and inside of the business as well. And that's the other part of the new normal, the new reality that we're trying to focus on as well.
Gotcha. And what are the components of that leadership? You know, what kind of skills or vision do they need to be bringing to the table to manage that process and open up that funnel that Ty just
Sure.
referred to?
Yeah, especially in our industry, whether it's HME, CRT, the reality is change is a constant. And so if we see leadership that becomes stagnant, or we see leadership that says, well, I've kind of always done it this way and that's kind of the way I'm going to do it, we just know that that's not going to work. So we're really looking at people that are visionary, where they're painting a really clear picture of the future of their own organization, so that their team members and the people that they've brought on staff can follow that and can work towards that and see where they're headed. They've got to have a little courage. It's not easy to constantly face change, and certainly in the world that we live in, the world of reimbursement and the world of audits, you know, getting and keeping that money can certainly be a challenge. So they've got to have some courage and display that to the folks that are following them and that are working on their team. And then, you know, finally, we want to see that they're humble. They're willing to admit where maybe they get things wrong and put the effort and the time in to make the changes that they need to make to kind of move forward. One of the big opportunities that we think is going to happen with competitive bid is that because CRT really is, while it's a truly complex part of the industry, it's a very vibrant, dynamic part of the industry.
Yeah.
And we think that there's really some amazing growth potential for the independent providers, especially on the HME respiratory side. They've got system structures and referral sources already in place that are seeing these very same clients and the same patients, there's no reason that they can't integrate a very robust and aggressive CRT program into their current model because they have that structure already there. They've just got to kind of put some great hiring practices in place, maybe add some additional staffing. But we think we can kind of help them work through that, and that the future is very bright for CRT.
Gotcha. And that's really interesting because there are a lot of comorbidities that live more in the traditional HME world and not necessarily addressed by, core CRT providers.
Yeah.
What is there a difference in approach in that marketplace for those particular referral partners, or is it more that those CRT patients wind up seeing referral partners that providers are already reaching, or maybe it's a little bit of both?
I think, David, you're right. I think it is a little bit of both. There is going to be a difference in the referrer for a Group 3 power wheelchair than maybe there would be for a piece of HME or respiratory equipment. And so they may have to moderate their sales approach. And a lot of that's going to be, who are those individuals that are marketing their organization or their business to that clinic or to that therapy group, and how are we going to shift that message to a more holistic message that, yeah, we want to take care of this person, and maybe they're going to talk in a little larger sense about that individual, where for years, from a sales standpoint, they've been very focused on one diagnosis or subset and kind of product line. But I think approaching a facility or even a physician's office saying, well, actually, I know that you have these clients. You know how great we've done serving them over the years. Why can't we also do this for them? And I think that's a pretty easy message to bring to an existing referral partnership.
Gotcha. So for a provider who realizes that they might have some services that are aligned to the CRT market, what do they do? What's the best place? What were your kind of your tips for kind of taking that first step, right?
Yeah. First step is to determine, is that really what we want to do?
Right.
and then if that is the direction, and they can kind of, as Covey says, begin with the end in mind. And once they determine, okay, here's where we want to be, then kind of put a framework together. What are the steps that we need to take? What are the processes we need to build? What are the systems that need to be altered? Because they probably don't need to be totally redesigned, but they may need to be altered, because just like the equipment is complex, so is the documentation process. So what needs to happen there? What are the skill sets that we may not quite have? What are those gaps? And then once they are able to define all of those things, then move forward with the plan around, okay, who are the people that need to be put in place?
Mm-hmm.
What are the products that we need? And then what's the process that we need to follow?
Gotcha. All right. Well, Jonathan, thank you very much. Ty, thank you very much. This is great information.
Yeah.
And if listeners want to find out more, where should they go?
Yeah, they can go to our website, www.teamatworkcoaching.com, or they can call our office directly, 260-627-8938.
All right, Ty, as always, and Jonathan,
yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Okay, that'll close things up for episode 10 of the HMEB podcast. Thanks again to John Gallagher and Rhonda Burmeister of VGM, and Ty Bellow and Jonathan Walter of Team at Work for sharing their time and information and insights. If you want to stay on top of what's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com, and subscribe to our eSource weekly e-newsletter service. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter. Again, those accounts are at HME Business and at Post Acute News. And of course, there's this podcast. Please, if you haven't already, make sure to click on the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter. Again, that's at Post Acute News. Or you can hit me up by email at DKOP as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Again, that's DKOPF at 1105media.com. And with that, I think we'll wrap things up for this episode.
Thank you all very much for listening, and goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.